Good afternoon. We appreciate all the brothers who helped out this afternoon. If you notice carefully, Brother Odell Morgan and myself were not up here. You're welcome. Brother Odell and myself believe staying in your own lane. We stay in our own lane. Open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. We are very, very pleased to announce that Brother Cliff Russell went home today. We talked to him in the parking lot. I didn't get out of the parking lot. I talked to him. Isn't there some waiting in on my face? I said, well, Dr. Russell, you are right. I said, are you being released or are you a statement? But that's good news. Now, until he is able to come back, Brother Morgan and myself are going to take turns teaching Wednesday, his class on Wednesday night. So I'm going to go first, and I will fan out as soon as I find out what we're going to do. Okay? So you get a fan out. I'm trying to sound a little fluffy. You can read the chapter and you'll know where we're headed. All right? Philippians chapter 4. In the very last part of the 19th century, a man by the name of Charles Eliot was the president of Harvard University. Mr. Eliot tried to the best of his ability to live his life according to a motto. And Charles Eliot's motto for life was this. He said, look up, not down. Reach out, not in. Look forward, never backward, and always lend a hand. Now let me give you that again, but a little slower. Look up, not down. Reach out, but not in. Look forward, never backward, and always lend a hand. I submit to you that that motto would quickly change the world. Even more than that, that motto would quickly change the church. I can also tell you that that motto which Charles Eliot lived by was not a motto that he invented himself. But every part of that came from the scriptures. Not only so, but the entire motto came from the book of Philippians. And write his best to live by. Now let's break it down. First, he said to always look up. Always look up. What is that? You know what that is? That is divine dependency. Divine dependency. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notice the power source, the strength source there is from Christ.
Now, if Paul could do all things through Christ, what could Paul do without Christ? Nothing. Nothing. Divine dependency. What does that mean? That means that our dependency is on God. Now, as simple and basic as that sounds, I am afraid that many of us, we don't understand that. We don't understand that. Paul told the intellectuals in the city of Athens, in Acts 17, chapter 28, verse, Paul says that it is in God that we live, move, and have our very being. Without God, you cannot live. Without God, you cannot even move. Without God, you cannot breathe. Brethren, we are totally dependent upon God. Jesus said in John 15 and in verse 5, he told his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. Sometimes I wonder if we understand. It is only by the grace of God that we take our next breath. Sometimes I wonder if we really understand. It is only by the grace of God that your heart and my heart will beat again. It is only by the grace of God that any of us will ever make it to the carnival call. Only by the grace of God that any of us will make it from this building to our home. Only by the grace of God is that going to happen for you. Always look up. Why? Because that's who we're dependent upon. Every minute of every hour, of every day, of every second of our lives, we are totally dependent upon God. And the problem is a lot of folks live like they depend upon themselves. I told my Sunday school class this morning, any morning of your life that you ever wake up and put your feet on the ground and get on about your business without praying to God, that's you telling God, God, I don't need you today. I can do this. Listen to me. You can't do this. None of it. None of it. Always look up. That's divine dependency. God, I depend on you for every moment. And then live like it. Live like it. The next part of that is he said, always look out, not in. That's unselfish. That's unselfish.
Look at Philippians chapter 2. And here I stand with a Bible with a little print in it.
And if I can see it, I'm going to read it. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. You know what that is? That's looking out, not looking in. Verse 4. Each one should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Always, look out, not in. That's unselfish. Brethren, listen, unselfishness ought to reign supreme in the kingdom of God.
But the problem is that some brethren are more concerned about advancing themselves than they are advancing the kingdom. And that's the problem.
You say, well, what is the solution to that? The solution to that is to consider others better than yourself. With some people, if you're not talking about them, they're not listening.
And that's just a fact. We need to live with dependency upon God. We need to live unselfishly. We need to live understanding that my interest and what I want isn't the only interest in the world, but that I will be happier if I will help the other guy get to where he needs to be. The third part of his model is he said, always look forward, not backward. That's vision. That's vision. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, not that I'm already perfect, but he said, I'm following after. And in verse 14, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's looking forward, not backward, brother. I tell you sadly tonight, the church is not suffering because we had too much vision. The church is suffering because we've had too little vision. Well, what is vision? This is the best definition I ever read. Vision is the ability to see yourself not only as you are, but where you need to be. We need to see ourselves collectively and ourselves as individuals, not just where we are, but where we can be by the help of God. That's vision. That's vision. When Jesus told those disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. That was vision. He was talking to a dozen men, and one of them was a traitor. But he's saying, listen, go get the world. You can get it. And just before he ascended into heaven in Acts 1 and in verse number 8, Jesus said to them, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Brethren, that's vision. It isn't just seeing ourselves where we are right now, but it's the ability to see ourselves where we can go by and through the help of God. But you can't do that living back there. You got to get up here. Always look up. That's divine dependency. I'm dependent on God. It's not up to me. It's not up to me. Because me minus God is zero. Look out and not in. That's unselfishness. Consider others better than yourself. Then look forward and not back. That's vision. Look at where you can be by the help of God. And then finally, he says, then lend everybody a hand. That's service. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul begins the letter like he begins most of his letters by calling himself a servant of Jesus Christ. The word he uses there is slave. And the very specific word he uses there is that Paul says, I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. What did that mean? That meant he was a slave and Jesus was the master. What did that mean? That meant that the only will that Paul had was whatever Christ's will was to him. That servant.
When James and John's mother came to Jesus in Matthew 20, she said, Lord, here are my two boys. When you come into your kingdom, put one on the left hand and one on the right hand. She's not the last one who wanted that. The problem now is everybody wants a position and nobody wants a job. Everybody wants to be chief and nobody wants to be in. Jesus told her, he said, you don't even know what you ask. He said, you don't have a clue. She wanted them to have a position. A position. And Jesus explained to her the rules of the kingdom of God. He said to her that among the Gentiles, what he meant by that is he said, out in the world, out of the kingdom and out in the world, here's how they do things. One guy says go and they go and he tells another one to go and he goes. Jesus says, but that's not the way it is in the kingdom. Jesus says the way it is in the kingdom is that those who will be great in the kingdom must be your servant. And then he says in verse 28 of Matthew 20, he says, for I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for men. It's about service. It's about service. On the last night of his life, Jesus gave to the disciples an object lesson. In the chronological context, in John 13, before that, chronologically, the disciples had been arguing with themselves about which one of them was the greatest. Can you imagine that argument? Oh, I'm better than you. Can you imagine such? Can you? These guys have been with Jesus for 3 years and they're arguing about which one of them is the greatest. So Jesus did more than teach them a lesson, he showed them one.
And in the middle of the meal, Jesus got up, he took his outer garment off, he wrapped himself in the towel, in the garb of the slave. He took a basin of water and he went around that table and deity himself stooped down and washed the dirty, undeserving feet of those disciples. And when he got through, he then explained to them. He says, do you understand what I did? And the lesson wasn't on foot washing. The lesson was on servanthood. The lesson was on serving him. And he told them, what I have done to you, you now do to each other. Listen, in the kingdom of God, the way up is to get down.
Amen.
It's service. It's service. So here is Charles Ellis. Always look up. Always reach out. Always look forward and always lend a hand. Brethren, live every moment of your life depending upon God. Because when you depend on Him, you're taking the pressure off yourself. Oh, I got to. Oh, you know what? I ain't got to do nothing if God don't want me to do it. Depend every second of your life on God. Forget about yourself and do something for somebody else. Folks are having nervous breakdowns because all they're doing is sitting around thinking about themselves. That's the truth. Everybody's about to have a nervous breakdown because all they're doing is sitting around thinking about themselves. Do something for somebody else. Stop looking behind you and look forward. That's vision. Stop complaining about what has happened and look out there at what good can happen. And then be a servant to other people. That was Mr. Elliot's motto. Now let me ask you something. What is your motto? As you look at your life, what would your motto be? May God help us to let our light shine. Not that folks may look at us, but that they may look through us and see Jesus in us. If you're here this afternoon and you're away from God, as a child of God, you need to come back. If you are in the assembly and out of Christian, you need to respond. You need to do what they did in the first century. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here, if you're subject to the invitation, you can come right now as we sing the first verse of this song together.